The town of Burchtown is a short drive north of Cookeville that sits right on beautiful Del Hollow Lake. Mayor Sam Gibson is my first guest from Burchtown / Pickett County, and I'm delighted to have him on this morning. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, and glad to hear from you.
Yeah, of course, I hadn't got to talk to you a whole lot, and I've known you for years, just known who you were and you're being mayor, and we'll talk about your tenure there and how you got into it later on. But I've most recently, and we laughed about it the other day, become really good friends with your son, James. Of course, he's younger than I am, but we've gotten together playing a lot of golf, and we got playing some pickleball, which a lot of people don't know what that is. It's that small-scale version of tennis, and, you know, you don't have to be as active. But it's a fun sport, so I see him about three times a week, and we laugh and cut up. And I asked him one day, I said, hey, would your dad be on my radio show? And he said, oh, yeah, he would love to do that. So I haven't had anybody on from Pickett County, and it's not that I haven't wanted to. It's just it hadn't really worked out. The only chance I remember, Sam, I guess really kind of working with you, and it was brief, I think it was about 4 years ago, and the state did an asset-based needs assessment for distressed rural counties. And I know you remember, but it was a big process for economic community development come in. They designated like 21 counties in the state that were distressed, and they wanted to give those counties some money in cities to do something to help tourism. And they wanted the city, in this case, the city in Pickett County and the county and the chamber to work together and discover what those biggest needs were, because ECD is all about tourism, attracting industry businesses to the state. They asked, I think it was Ag Extension and my agency, CTAS, to help facilitate those meetings. So that's really the only time I got to work with you, because you're city, I work with counties, but I've always been, always thought you'd done a good job up there, and of course you've been something constant for the town, so I think it's great. But do you remember what y'all decided to focus that money on? Because I worked with like eight counties that year, and I don't remember what y'all did with that money.
Yes, that was a county, I think it was more so through the county, the grant was. And we partnered with them, worked with them along with other people, the county highway department and so forth. Everybody kind of joined together, and we made a big impact on the town of Burchtown. That grant that gave us an opportunity. We're kind of an older town, and we had a lot of old things like old awnings that were rotten and about to fall and so forth. So that gave us an opportunity to go in there and we used the money to buy materials and things to put back, but we shared labor and did most of the labor with the county and the city, and we tore down all those old awnings and restored some of the outside of those buildings back like they were in the 60s and 70s, and really made a big impact on the looks of the city. And we painted a lot of them. We repaired sidewalks. We painted parking spaces. It just made the city more attractive, and that was a big impact on Burchtown. And I think with that grant, it's kind of led a lot of people to coming back into town with businesses and so forth. So made the town grow a little bit.
Right. And of course, James and I were talking the other day when we drove up into Kentucky to play, but we had a good drive, and I was asking about the restaurants still open, and of course y'all have several restaurants still open, and I think you said the Bobcat was opening back up, and I've eaten there several times. That used to be the place I'd go to, but you know, if you come into town, you've got a couple restaurants there as you come in. You got one on the square, and then it's made what you were just talking about. It's made downtown look better, and all these visitors coming in to the lake, now instead of just staying at the lake, now they're driving into Burchtown, right? I mean, they're actually coming inside the town.
Right. And you know, we are known for having some super good restaurants. We've got quite a few good places, good country food. And we have people that remember those restaurants because the food is so good. You know, we'll have visitors to come in, and I'll say something about, you know, they'll say, well, can I take you out to lunch? Where do you want to go? And I mentioned some places. Yeah, I've been there. I remember that. They've really got good food.
Yep.
So we're really blessed to have the number of restaurants and have the good food that we have. And like you said, the Bobcat Den, which has been closed now for probably going on close to a year, is getting ready to open back up, and it's right there on 111, so it's going to be a you know, another place for tourists and people coming through to be able to stop. So We've been very blessed with having good restrooms here.
I want to ask you about, of course, I've talked to everybody I've had on my show since March, really. We've talked about COVID-19 in some kind of form. And I want to ask you, the Del Hall Lake is there. It's right there in the county, in the city. It's beautiful. A lot of tourism every year brings to the city. And a lot of people come from up north, everywhere to come. Have you noticed a decline in visitors because of COVID-19, or is that lake still full?
That lake is... They're probably having the docks around the lake here in Pickett County are probably having the best year they've ever had. And it is because of the COVID-19. And the reason is, and you can understand it, why are people hanging around some of these big cities that's having such problems whenever they can go to Dale Hollow Lake and Burchtown, Tennessee, and spend an extended vacation time, and get away from all that. And that they've come here. We've having the best over the last couple of 3 months, the best as far as sales tax that we've ever had. And that's due to people coming here. And where else would you feel more safe than on the lake, on a boat, whether you're fishing or on a pontoon, houseboat, those docks and that lake is full on weekends. And, that's been a big, big help for Burchtown and Pickett County, because those people are going to come to the restaurants and places and eat. And so our sales tax has been good over the last 2-3 months.
Yeah, and people are still renting houseboats for the weekend, and that's bringing in, you know, that hotel motel tax money and sales tax. So if the lake's staying full, maybe Pickett County and Burchtown won't be affected so much through COVID-19, and y'all can keep doing what you're doing. I want to share a story with you, and I just thought of it, but I got to share it with you. Back in college, which has been about 20 years ago for me, I was fishing with a buddy, and I know you know him. I'm going to name his name, Tim Reagan. I haven't seen Tim Reagan for years, and I loved him. He was a great guy, and I'm sure he still is, but I hadn't got to talk to him. But he took me and another buddy from Baxter Fishing one time, and he dropped us out right in the middle of Del Hollow. And we didn't leave from Sunset. I think we left for maybe another one. I don't remember where we left from, Wolf Creek or somewhere. I don't remember if that's even a boat dock, but somewhere down there. And set us out right in the middle of the lake, and he said, "All right, boys, let's fish." And I was like, "Why are we sitting in the middle of the lake fishing? Usually we go over here to a cove or find some branches or trees or something where the fish is at." Within 5 minutes, I had a smallmouth on my line, and I got it up to the boat, and he said, "Hi, let me get that for you." Well, instead of getting it in the net, because it was a good-sized bass, I mean, I'm not bragging, but it was a good-sized bass, he cut my line. I mean, he took his knife and cut it, and the fish went on, and I just looked at him. I said, "What? Why did you do that?" He goes, "I'm the first person to catch the fish in my boat. Nobody else catches the first fish in my boat." I said, "Well, I will say, Sam, I swear we didn't catch one fish for the next 7 hours after that. Not one fish did we bring in." And I told him, I said, "Well, I guess we're going hungry tonight." We ended up camping out on one of the islands in the middle of the lake. We had a tent, threw it out on an island, slept overnight, got up the next morning, went and ate breakfast at one of the boat docks, and went back to fishing. But that was my first experience fishing on Del Hollow. And it's such a beautiful lake. It's clean. It's big. There's so much to do there. And so people listening today, this morning, 40 minutes from Cookeville, if you're in Cookeville listening, you can be there. You can enjoy what the mayor's just talked about. All the boat docks are open. The restaurants are open. They're renting houseboats, pontoons. So they're going full go. The attraction other than the lake is a small town feel. And of course, you've been mayor. How long have you been mayor now, Sam?
This month will end 6 years that I've been here.
6 years. And so what made you decide that you wanted to get into the public service side of things? And what desire did you have to start to run for mayor and take that role on?
Well, I'm just going ahead and giving you a little bit of history. I'm telling my age here, which is whenever you get as old as I am, you're just glad to be here. I graduated from college from Tennessee Tech in 1975, and my first job right immediately after graduation was at a private military school down in Upperman.
Okay.
And I started teaching school in 75.
Right.
And basically retired from education. I've spent some time as director of schools in Tennessee and also in Kentucky. And then I ended my teaching career in 2012 in Kentucky, but due to the fact that they do have a much better retirement system there than Tennessee has.
Right.
But so I've spent many years in education, and once I retired, I realized that I'm not ready to quit. I feel like, you know, I've got a little bit left in me, and if I can do something and can be a satisfactory job, be a benefit to the city or the county, I'm going to try something, and I'm going to run for, so the mayor's position was coming up, and I thought, well, I'm going to run for mayor. I've had a house here, and my family, we've moved here when I was 5 years old, so we've been here many, many years. And so I decided, hey, I'm going to run, and I'm going to try it, and was elected, and have really had a good experience. I feel like that we've accomplished a lot of things. I've been a big believer in showing people what you're doing, not telling them what you're doing.
Sure.
And people, you know, I get a lot of compliments. People look around the city and say, well, I can see some improvements here and here, and we feel like you're doing a good job. And that keeps you going, those kind of comments do, because, you know, a place that, you've been all your life, you know, you want to see things happen. And so those things have kept me in there. But that's I just didn't want to quit. I've had a lot of years in the public, and I didn't feel like, I thought, well, I've seen too many people quit and go home, and then they don't last long after that. So I thought I need to kind of stay active and do things, and so I'm still here.
That's great. And I want to talk a little bit more about your six-year tenure so far and some of those things that's happened. We come back the next segment. We're going to close this down. You're listening to Trending. This is Ben Rogers, and my guest is Mayor Sam Gibson from Byrdstown, Tennessee. I'm delighted to have him on. We're going to learn more about Byrdstown when we come back in just a moment. Welcome back to Trending. This is Ben Rogers. I continue to visit with Byrdstown Mayor Sam Gibson. Mayor, you're in your second, or starting your third year of your second term. You've been there 6 years as the mayor of Byrdstown. And, of course, you had just mentioned being in education for years. And actually, I want to ask you a little bit about being in Kentucky. Of course, you said the retirement was better, and I've always heard that. Tennessee's benefits for teachers just probably not always up to par with other states around us, and Kentucky, I know. But how far inside Kentucky did you go to teach or be director of schools?
Yeah, Albany, which is right across the line, so it's almost, it's, you'd almost think it's in Tennessee, but
sure,
it's over in just Albany, which is just from my house here in Byrdstown. When I was working there, and I could be in the office or in the gymnasium in 17 minutes from my house.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. Well, so in your 6 years, and of course, and I say this too, when I have somebody on that's had previous experience, like in education, or, you know, public servants are not just elected officials. Public servants are people educating, teachers and administration. Public servants are your military and those people out here, you know, serving, in my mind. And so you've had experience in public service all your life when you got out of college through education. And that experience, I'm sure, set you up for being mayor. And so in your 6 year, what are some of the accomplishments you've seen the last 6 years?
Well, you know, it whenever I look at some of the things that we've done, it's impressive. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I try to pat my council on the back, because we go over each year, we'll go over things that we've done and accomplishments we've made. And whenever we, at the end of 4 years, because all of my council members, when I ran, that were elected, then all of them plus myself, the next term was unopposed. So that says we kind of did a few things that were right. So I got to give a lot of credit to them for that, because they supported me and we worked together to do things. The first thing that we did, we come in, we kind of looked at our streets and said, hey, our streets haven't been really repaved and anything done to them in quite a few years. And our citizens here in town deserve better. And so we paved about 90% of our roads here in the city.
Wow.
Repaved them.
Wow.
And we've had since that initial time, we've had about $3.5 million grants to re-upgrade and do water lines. When I was running for office, people say, what do I get for my tax dollar? I don't,
right.
You know, more than other people. So, you know, the council and I, we sit down and looked at that and talked about it. And by having the type of employees that we have that are very dedicated, we were able to provide our our residents in the city of Birdstown free trash pickup. And that's something that they'd never had. They'd never had anything, you know, basically that they're saying, hey, this is what I get above and beyond, you know, street lights and just roads and whatever.
Right.
So we provided that, and that was a big plus for our residents because they felt like now they're important and they are getting something for what they do. And so we used little things like finding used big trash cans from other areas that are upgrading. So we provided everyone with a trash can with Town of Birdstown name on it, and we provide free trash pickup one day a week. And so that's been a big plus. We purchased a snow removal blade and a truck for the city,
right,
which we didn't have in the past. You know, we relied on the county, who did an excellent job, but we wanted our own so sure. that we could get on the job a little quicker and keep the snow off. And we did that. We had a park across the road, and we purchased some land to tie it together so that we would have a bigger park for our activities that we have here in town.
Right.
And whenever we'd have activities, we had a stage, but that's about all we had. We bought a tent, portable tent. Now, since we've had the tent for three or four years, we built a structure that with a roof and walls and everything, lights, fans. So we've got our own building now, and also we didn't have bathrooms. We rented porta pots, so now we built a couple of years ago our bathrooms there. So we have a wonderful place for our 4th of July activities and other type of activities as well. So there's just so many things, and we feel really good about the things that we've done because, and people can see this. They can see the things taking place. You know, we bought the land. We've got a structure that is very safe, with a roof. And we even had the prom there this past year.
Oh, wow.
So people can see what we're doing with the money and that's going in. And we don't get a lot of money on really on taxes because our tax rate's probably the lowest in the state.
Sure.
It's less than 50 cents in the city, and that's just unheard of.
Right.
But we deal more on taking care of our money and using sales tax money and things like that. And making it go a little farther. But again, our biggest thing that we try to do is show people where our money is going.
Right.
And people are not going to, you know, if you know where your money is going, you're not going to fuss as much about it. But if you have to pay taxes and pay things and you don't know where it's going and nobody can really give you that answer, then you're kind of disappointed in that. But, we've done a lot of things. We've increased water lines throughout, and we've also got a little policy within the city that areas we're so our water lines are not that big, and when we replace them, we also try to add water hydrants. We don't have that many fire hydrants throughout the county, but every time we do a grant and put in some additional water lines, we make sure that those fire hydrants are put in because those are greatly needed.
Right.
And it also helps the insurance rating for the people that live close to them. So we try to do that every 2,000 feet, and that helps anyone that's within that area, 1,000 feet of that.
Yeah, it breaks down that ISO rating, and that ISO rating, lower it is, the better the insurance premium is, or the cheaper the insurance premium is. And for most insurance companies, there are a few insurance companies that really don't factor that in, but most of them do. So that's good. And you mentioned, you know, y'all are offering services. It's very transparent what you're doing with the money. And of course, you've got a place you can have festivals. And I guess that slowed down some with COVID. Maybe not as much going on. I mean, have y'all been able to do anything other? Have you been able to do a festival or anything this year? Or is it kind of slowed down?
We haven't, and it's you know, it's unfortunate that all this is going on, and we haven't. We did go ahead and have our fireworks show at the 4th of July, and we usually have a big activity day that day. So we postponed that and was going to do it later, but it's not gotten to the point we can. But on Labor Day weekend, I think that's September the 5th on Saturday night, we do have a band scheduled for the park, and we're going to, you know, the council and I, we kind of go with the idea that we're going to have to face some of these things and get back going again, because the world and, you know, the country just, and the county and the city, we just can't lay down and quit and hide from it, because it's there. And it's going to wait for us to come back out, so we may as well go ahead and try to face some of it head on. And so we're going to go ahead and have a concert. And we'll have available for people to social distance, and we'll have masks available and chairs, you know, and people, if they're uncomfortable, they can sit in their vehicles. But people are needing a place to go, other than just, you know, we take advantage of the lake. But the people that's here that live on the lake, that's kind of normal for them. They'd like to have a little something else to do.
Right.
And this will give them an opportunity to go out and do a little something. So we're looking forward to that. That'll be September the 5th. We'll have a band there and have a good time that night, and have a few vendors there selling some goodies and so forth. So we're hoping to kind of get things going again and get back in.
Good deal.
And operate.
That's good. And we're going to close this segment out and get, we got two more. If you got time to stick with them, we got two more, because I know we still got a lot to talk about, everything that's going on. But we return. This has been Rogers with Trending. We'll continue to visit with Mayor Sam Gibson from Byrdstown in just a moment. Welcome back to Trending. This has been Rogers. I continue to visit with Mayor Sam Gibson from Byrdstown. As I mentioned, love the town of Byrdstown. It's a wonderful place to visit. So much to do. As small a town it is, there's so much to do there. And we mentioned, it was left off, that you're having a festival on September 5th. It's a Saturday. It's a Labor Day weekend. And you're having, as you said, people are looking forward to do something. Of course, it's going to be outside, so you don't have to worry about being inside and all that social distancing inside and stuff. So it's going to be outside. You got a band coming, you said, a country band. I think Crossfire's coming. You've got vendors going to be set up with food and stuff. So you're looking for something to do on Labor Day weekend. Get to Byrdstown, and you'll have some fun there. And they've, as you mentioned, Mayor, y'all put a lot of money into fixing things up and making the town not only look good, but having a place to come to enjoy each other and have a festival and get outside. And people get off the lake, they want to do something else besides be on the lake. So they got opportunity now. So that's great.
That'll be a great thing for people. We have a permanent structure there with a roof and all, so people are going to be under, even if it's, you know, a little rainy or whatever, we're not going to cancel it. We're going to have it there, and unless we have bad lightning or something, the band can continue to play. It's big enough that people can social distance. We'll have some chairs available if they want to bring their own lawn chairs. If it's beautiful weather and they want to sit out under the stars and listen to some great music, Crossfire is a super band, good country band. And if they want to hear some music, and also if they're not comfortable with that, they can sit in their vehicles around the parking lot, and we'll have the loudspeakers. They'll be able to enjoy it as well, just sitting in their vehicle. So we're trying to get things going back again and get people out, because I know people are needing a place, you know, and wanting to get out and go.
Sure, and that's good. I'm glad to see cities and towns trying to get things going, so people get out there, enjoy themselves a little bit. So rain or shine, September 5th in Byrdstown, it's going to be a good event. So you, as we mentioned, you're a full-time mayor, full-time town mayor, city mayors, as I guess common, and you've been doing the course of your 6th year as full-time mayor, and I've had on city mayors before, probably three or four so far in the show, and it seems like everybody's structure is different. You know, sometimes some mayors are part-time, and they may have a city manager or maybe a city recorder that does more of the day-to-day. But you're a full-time mayor, so you're the figurehead. You're the one in charge. What departments does Byrdstown have that you oversee?
Well, you know, being the mayor here, you get everything. Number one is you get the town and the streets, and you know, we take care of all those kind of things. We even we try to do a lot of things, and this is part of the reason that our tax rate stays low. We try to do a lot of, our people do a lot of the things that a lot of places would contract out or hire out for someone else to do. And but our people, we paint street parking spaces ourselves. We've got a paint machine. We do that. We pick up trash ourselves. Our expense was buying a truck, and we use our own employees to do that. And four of them every week will go two different ways, and they'll do that. And that way we can, without having to raise any taxes additional for those kind of things, we're able to do that in-house. And so we take care of the town first, and then we've got the water department. Water department is probably our biggest thing because we serve, you know, Pinckney County is one of the smaller counties in the state, and we serve about 2,500, 3,000 customers. We got about 2,500 out in the county and about 500 in the city.
Oh, wow.
So we serve all of those. We take care of, and we're not really high tech on that. We go out and read each meter individually. But yet, in doing that, I will give a plug out for my workers and my people, because if you live in a place and you're not aware of it, there may be a big water leak between the meter and your house, and you may not know it. And if our meter people reading the meter see that, we're going to leave a note on your door. And if you're not at home, we may even turn the meter off if it's running real fast, because we've had places that we found that's lost 10,000-20,000 gallon of water in a few days and not realize it. And yet whenever we're reading meters, we catch that. So we're small enough, we'll leave a note, or maybe we'll turn around and call you and let you know that you've got a leak there and we've detected it, and then we'll start the process of trying to work with you to get that taken care of. So water is our biggest thing. We've got we pump water out of a beautiful Dalhalla Lake.
Right.
And it's probably one of the most pure lakes in the country. And so we pump it out of there, and our water plant is on top of the hill right next to it. And we provide in Pinckney County, and we also provide water for Powell Mall.
Okay.
We've got up in Jamestown, up in Pinellas County. So we take care of the water, and you know, we don't have a lot of workers. And you know, when I talk about all these things, I'll go ahead and go into sewer.
Sure.
We also have sewer in the city. Not everyone has sewer. But we have sewer in the city and our sewer plant, but our total workers in the entire with the city and the water and the sewer, and then the people in my office and everything, we've only got about 13 employees, and that's really good because we do all of these things with our own people, with our own employees, without having people running over each other. And so that's the way we're able to really take the money a little farther and go a little farther by having a less than a 50-cent tax rate.
Right. And of course, you said you're offering water to a lot of people. I mean, 3,000 people, and that's only 500 in the city. Then you go out in the county of Pinckney County, and you're going up to Fentress County at Paul Mall. And so have y'all provided water to them for a long time, or is that something that's happened since you've been mayor?
No, it's been for a long time. Probably back in the 90s, I guess, whenever they late 80s or 90s, whenever that started. And if we think about Fentress County, the water would be coming from Jamestown, And if you realize Pall Mall is down way down over the hill from Jamestown, and so it'd be pretty tough, you know, as far as pressure goes, to try to keep that from blowing lines out and so forth, and then trying to dig through those rocks, trying to come down over that mountain. So we've been providing water for probably 25, 30 years.
Yeah, and I said Pall Mall. I should know better than that. Jimmy Johnson from Fentress County is going to get me. It's Pall Mall. I don't know if I've ever messed up until that on that, because I've always corrected people like my friends that are from out of, not around here. They're, you know, where's that place at named after the cigarette? I'm like, well, it ain't, it's not quite like that. It's Pall Mall. But anyway, I just think it's good, and I'm always intrigued, and people think I'm crazy sometimes, Mayor, but I'm intrigued by providing services to people and intrigued by offering those and trying to help people out, especially with water, because I grew up for the first 8, 9, 10 years of my life, we were on well water. And if it wasn't for probably my uncle and a few other people, we might still be on well water. And so there were times when I was a kid, and Daddy would remind us still that we might be in the middle of a shower and we'd run out of water. And so we'd have to go down to our neighbors with soap on us and rinse off because we were on well water. Providing water to people is one of the biggest things a government, a city, a county, a utility district can do to help people, because it's so valuable to have that water access, just a turn of a knob and it be there and you ain't got to worry about running out. And I had a friend that was on well water. It was all sulfur. You know, sulfur was coming up through the well, and it was terrible. The smell was terrible. It would hurt their skin. Couldn't drink it. And they finally, and that was in Putnam County, they finally got a grant to come out there to take care of that. So it's good that the town of Birdstown is offering to help people outside the city limit. So I think that's good.
People don't understand until they're out of water how really important having water is, because we take it for granted anymore. But during this pandemic, our water department is probably the most essential workers in the state. And I mean, that's every county's got those.
Right.
But that's the most essential, because, you know, the first thing we want to do in order to try to keep this from spreading as much is wash your hands, use soap and water.
Right.
And flush commodes, you know, take showers. So our water department has continued to keep right on. And we're very, very fortunate that our essential workers that we have here in our department has been here and has not had to miss very, very little. And we've been able to keep everything moving and going. And that's been very important. And a lot of people maybe take it for granted, but it really has been very important, and they've really done an excellent job.
That's great. We're wrapping up this segment. I got one more segment with you, and I hate that I only got one, because I've enjoyed it. We've got one more segment. We come back. You're listening to Trending. This is Ben Rogers. Mayor Sam Gibson from Birdstown is going to continue to be with me the last segment. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the last segment of Trending. This is Ben Rogers. I've really enjoyed my time with Mayor Sam Gibson. We got one more segment left, and it's I hate to see it end, but we were talking about providing water, Mayor, out to people in the city and the Corsa County, and even going out into other counties in Fentress County, and I think that's wonderful. One unique thing about this town of Birdstown, and I've known this for a while, is y'all actually don't have law enforcement that belongs to the town. You utilize the county sheriff's office. And it's unique for me, because I'm sure there's other cities in the state, but I don't know of any right offhand that do that. And so how is that working relationship with the county sheriff's office?
Well, it works great. And it's great for the city, because, you know, instead of having a police department staff, you know, with whatever number of officers we'd have to have, and having a courtroom, and having a judge, and having the liability insurance and all the things that we would have to have, instead of having two different ones, we've just got one, and that's the county. And so we donate X amount of dollars each year to the county so that they will also cover the city. And so now we only have one, and that's a big help for the city, more so than anything. And that's just great for us, because it'd be be a little tough to start one out that you've never basically haven't had one in 30 years. It'd be a little tough to try to start something like that.
Sure. Well, and that's one corner, kind of one thing is you being a full-time mayor, one less thing you got to be responsible for, and you can focus your time on water and your time on paving roads and putting up street lights. So that kind of helps you out. How many employees are there in the town of Burgetown that work for you?
13. We got about 13 employees.
Okay, 13 employees. And then, of course, your budget, talk a little bit about the budget. Y'all passed the budget. And, of course, you mentioned your tax rate's 50 cents, which is one of the lowest ones as far as a city or town goes in Tennessee. Y'all passed the budget in June? Is that when y'all passed the budget?
We did.
Yeah, and I think most cities do that. So no tax increase for that budget, I'm assuming.
No.
It's kind of hard.
We've been real fortunate to be able to keep a pretty good fund balance in general fund, and also in water. We don't have as much of a fund balance in water as we would like, they do water different, the state does.
Right.
Most of your fund balance is in your assets that you have. And so, our water department is in good shape, but yet we just don't say we have to raise rates just a little bit every year in order to keep our budget above water.
Sure.
But yet we continue to build on our assets, which makes our water department financially in good shape.
That's good. That's good. Well, it sounds like y'all are doing a good job fiscally managing that and keeping the tax burden off the citizens. Of course, with everything with COVID-19 and cities and counties are always eligible for grants. And of course, COVID-19's hit. And actually, before COVID-19, the governor had issued some grant money for cities and towns and counties to help with infrastructure. I don't know how much you're getting to that, but I do know you got some grant money coming from some other projects. Can you speak about those projects?
Well, we're getting ready to start a $590,000 water grant just as soon as we get all of our paperwork in order, which will be trying to fix a line, to redo a line that goes down in our area, such as Eagle Cove and Star Point, which is our biggest growing area. And the demand for water in that area has outgrown the size of our lines there. And so we're going to try to correct that. And I know this will probably not completely do it, so we're going to try again. But next year, we're going with another one to do the same thing, because our area around the lake is growing tremendously, and we're not been on top of it like we should have, and we should have been increasing those lines a few years ago in order to get that amount of water out there that is needed, so everybody will have adequate, like you said, whenever you were talking about taking a bath, so that whenever they start taking a bath, they can finish it and wash the soap off and get everything done. So we've got that going. And we've also got a community planning grant to look at our roads. We're right here on 111, and there's a lot of traffic there. We're in the need of a little bit of help there, such as turning lanes and maybe lower the speed limit. But we want to do a planning grant to come in and just look at that and assess what the need is for Burgetown, because then coming down West Main Street to the courthouse, we want someone to come in professional and give us some ideas of what is needed, such as sidewalks, wider roads, and whatever that they think that would be great for Burgetown and make an improvement for us. And that's a $50,000 planning grant there through TDOT. And then also we've been approved on a housing grant of $500,000 for the town of Burgetown. And that's going to be a big plus for some of the people that are not able to do some of the repairs on their homes that they need right here in the city. And so that'll be great for them. And that paperwork will take a little time because of all the environmental issues that you have to go through, and hopefully we'll have that in place for spring.
That's good. And so who helps you with the grant process? Is that something you do, you take on yourself a lot, or do you have people trying to help you with those applications and getting that paperwork turned in?
I'd like to say that's me that does that, but it's not. we have some good, we use the development district out of Cookeville, and then also we've got a few other grant writers. Faye Leonard out of Monterey is a helps us tremendously with our water grants and even our housing grants. So, you know, it's good to just, I guess I know the people to call for the help that we need and that can help us with this. I just kind of get them going in the right direction, and they're the ones that's got the expertise to do the footwork that it takes to get these grants. And so, yeah, I'd like to take credit, but I can't. I'm going to have to give that to them. But they do a wonderful job, and we've been blessed. It seems like over the last few years, we've got our share of grants, and we're going to continue to try to find others and apply for others, because, you know, that's most of the time that's free money. Even just like the water grant, $590,000, we have to pay $65,000 out of the water fund, but that's very minimal compared to $590,000. And that $590,000 goes a long way.
That's right. And I want to ask you something. You've done a great job talking about everything going on, but I want to get your take. You retired as an educator. Now you're in public service as a mayor. Both of them I know are rewarding, and both of them I know are work. What is the difference in your mind compared to being an educator to now being mayor, as far as the rewarding part or the work part? What's the biggest difference that you can think of?
Well, you know, they're both rewarding. You know, it goes back to the state of mind that you go into it. I've got a son, James, that you mentioned earlier on in the broadcast, who's a elementary teacher.
Mm-hmm.
My wife retired from teaching. My sister retired from teaching. My brother retired from teaching. I retired from teaching. So, you know, we had to have a lot of concern and a lot of dedication to be able to spend that many years there to do that. And it's very satisfying to see students come up that you had, and now they're pharmacists and they're doctors and they're successful farmers and they're successful business people. And, you know, those are the rewards for doing that. And that's great. And also something I didn't mention, a lot of people here know that, you may not. I coached three state championships in basketball, so I've had some rewarding years in coaching,
right,
and in preaching, and even went into being a school superintendent in Tennessee for 4 years and 8 years in Kentucky, and so I've had a lot of different experience. But being mayor, I've had the opportunity and the freedom to get out and kind of run around and talk to people and go to businesses And when I was campaigning, I campaigned with short pants on and a golf shirt and a golf hat. And I said, now look here, this is who I am.
Right.
And if I'm elected, this is the way I'm going to be. I'm not going to put a tie and suit on and sit behind the desk. I've had my years of that.
Yep.
I want to be out in the community that I'm representing and let people be able to talk to me and see me. And when I can, I'm out with our workers and helping them. So it's rewarding to do that, and it's been, people say, well, don't you have a lot of problems? And sometimes you got to turn people's water off and do those things, but there's so many more rewarding things out there, like this housing grant and these water grants and things like that you can see that's been a benefit. Building a pavilion and having a place for people to come and have events. We even had a prom there this past June, there's so many rewarding things there, and they're all those things are rewarding. And a lot of times it's just frame of mind that you go into it with. And if you go into it like you should, then there's rewards are going to be there.
That's right. And Sam, appreciate you sharing that, because I always like to get, you know, feedback from leaders and public servants. I really enjoyed having you on. If I don't see you soon, I know I'll see you in October, because there's somebody special to you getting married, and I'll be there too. So, thank you so much, Mayor, for being here with me and visiting and talking. I learned a lot about Byrdstown today, and that's the goal, and to talk about that community and that city and everything going on. So I thank you so much. And if you need anything, just give me a holler. I appreciate you.
We appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I hope everyone enjoyed this episode of Trending. This has been Rogers. Next week, I'll have on Congressman John Rose. So join us next Friday at 8 a.m. Thank you for listening. We'll see you soon.